by no means an expert in parenting. I used to be, but then I had children, and and then that went out the door. You know, everyone always says, oh, you should do this when I have a child. They're never going to watch Barney, or when I have a child, yeah, no, never going to watch Teletubbies, or whatever the case may be. Yeah. So I'm definitely not an expert in parenting, but I just want to tell you guys a little bit more about myself and who I am and where I'm from and what I'm about. So I'm Tamann Esterhazen, my awesome husband, Llewellyn. I'm a mother of two boys. One is 16 months. The other is turning 5 in December. And I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm a parenting coach for Munchkins. I don't know if any of you have heard of Munchkins. And yeah, I'm a business owner as well. I have an events company. And yeah, Llewellyn and I met years ago. got married 2011, and 2012 we just felt that something was missing in our lives, and we went to a church because, you know, we knew it was the right thing to do. Got radically saved for the Lord. 2013, had our first son. I always joked with Llewellyn, I googled, you know when you want to start a family, you google everything, to be honest. And I googled, and Google said, and if Google says, then it's the truth. Google said that it'll take an average couple a year to fall pregnant. So I said, babe, was it the year? And within a month, we were pregnant with Landon. He was very disappointed. He's like, oh. But anyway, when I showed him the little pregnancy test, he said to me, what betekent dat? I was like, well, we're pregnant. So yeah, we've always done things differently when it comes to parenting, because not because of anything that we were taught, but just because of how we lived our lives. And I'm going to say here now, I had another radical encounter with the Lord in 2014. When I had Landon, I was defined in being a mother, and that's all. I didn't care about being a wife. I didn't care about being a business owner. I didn't care about the Lord. I'm just putting it out there. Can I be real? I'm being real. And I was being a mother, and I wanted to be the best mother I could, and that was me. And in 2014, I went to a church conference one night, and I knew something was wrong because I was hiding behind my child. I was hiding behind Landon, and Lou would come to me and say, you go worship. And I was like, no, I've got the baby, you go worship, it's fine. Because I only realized now that I hid behind Landon because I was scared that I was going to be reprimanded by the Lord because I was making an idol out of my child. Okay, so I opened myself up. I said, Lord, I know this is wrong, help me. Encounter with the Lord on the floor. I had Landon in a sling, I'll never forget it. He was on a sling. I was on the floor in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said to me, if you think you love that child, you have no idea how I feel about you. And that just slapped me links in the rachs. And I was like, okay, Lord, you know what? Yes, I love my children, but ultimately my goal is to let them love you more. Okay. So yeah, the Lord has just placed a mandate for parenting on my and Llewellyn's life. And let me get to Arden as well. So one morning I was sitting. So we've always taken Landon to church. He was 6 days old, his first day at church. Conferences we go to, as I say, I've seen all you guys. You know what I'm talking about. In the sling, in the pram. Shh. You know, dummy in the mouth, preachers talking. And so he's always known church. He's always known the Lord. I really do feel he's only turning 5, but I honestly feel like he has a relationship with the Lord already, which is amazing. He prays, he sings to the Lord. I mean, it's awesome. And when he was 2.5, so when he was 7 months old, actually, let me backtrack a bit. When he's 7 months old, Lou and I decided we kind of like being parents, so we want another one. So we got everything ready. We're like, okay, great, let's do this. And Lou was way more lucky this time because we didn't fall pregnant at all for 2 years, 7 months. And it was a journey for us to walk through because I was like, what is wrong? We were told, no, I'm not ovulating. I'm not doing any of these things. Sorry, you know, it just happens. And I was like, well, that's not good enough. And we prayed and we contended for this child. And when Lana was 2.5 years old, I was making him breakfast, making eggy bread. Never forget it. And he said to me, Mama, you had the booty in your maagie. And I was like, excuse me? What? He says, no, Jesus and my gesê had the booty in your maagie. Come on. So I was like, okay, cool. 5 weeks later, we found out we were pregnant with Arden. So my little prophet. And he said, when his brother's 2, we're going to have a little girl. So I'll claim it in Jesus' name. So I'm giving you guys a little bit of background of me and just what parenting means to me. I feel like it's such an honor to be a parent. It's such an honor. I love, for me, serving my family. It sounds super weird. I love doing their washing. I love cooking supper. I love cleaning up after them. I do. I'm just, that's one of my love languages, serving. But I just love serving my family. And when we went to antenatal classes, the greatest advice that I ever received was that your child gets born into your family, right? So when you get married to your spouse, you already are a family. And some people get that wrong because they go, oh, you know, now we have a family because we have a baby. But when you get married, you are a family already, right? And so they said to us, you know, the child gets born into your family. And we were like, oh, well, you know, our whole life's going to be thrown upside down. What do you mean? But we slowly but surely realized that they are born into your family. And you cannot... You make sacrifices for them, which I'm coming to, but you also cannot put your life on hold because you have children. So you need to live your life just mit der Anhangsel, ne? So yeah, that was very good advice. So my heart is to help empower parents to raise children that are one day going to add to society, okay? People that we let out in the world that will be respected and that will respect other people. And that's just my heart. And when we parent, we need to think about long term, right? Because it's not just short term. So I'm going to say this out loud. As an adult for me, I need to know that I'm grounded. My foundation is strong and solid, right? And my foundation is in the Lord. And when everything around me crumbles and falls to pieces, I know I will be okay because my foundation is the Lord, right? So for children, it's exactly the same. So they need to know their foundation is so strong that if anything around them goes wrong, daddy loses his job, loses her job, or anything that happens in their house, the dog dies, anything. They know that they are so grounded in their foundation, which is now mommy and daddy, that they'll be okay. Does that make sense, right? So when it comes to the Esterhazens, we name ourselves Team Esterhazen to our children. So when we discipline them or when we speak about our family values, so it's very important to have family values, and it's very important to have it up maybe somewhere in your house and to be able to discuss that with your children. The Esterhazens, we are kind, we are generous, we do not only take, but we give generously, we are patient. Right? So those values that you need to imprint on your family. So that for me, so I'm still going on about parenting for me. So just bear with me. So when Landy does something that doesn't fall in line with our values, we go, Landon, do Esterhazens lie? No, Mom. Are Esterhazens kind? Yes, we are kind. Okay, so then why did you do what you did, you know? So he knows that we have values and he knows that for some things we stand for, okay? So, family structure for me, God, spouse, children. Okay, I know a lot of people get that wrong because I did. I had my child way up there. Okay, so for me, it's very important. You know, your first ministry is your family, and in your family, your first ministry is God, your spouse, and your children. So, where am I now? Now I can actually get to my teaching for the night. I just want to get my timer here ready. So tonight I'm going, which I didn't start, by the way. So tonight I want to give you guys a couple of building blocks which are in line with Munchkins. So as I said, I'm a parenting coach for Munchkins, but it's more godly building blocks to build into your children's lives for long term. And the Lord spoke to me over a couple of days, and he said to me, I want you to speak about these things, and I want you to bring up. So as I say, I'm going to share some things with you guys. You're probably going to go, what? You're a parent coach and you do that? But I want to be real with you guys, okay? I wanted to show you that I'm standing here, but I'm a work in progress. I don't know everything, okay? I make mistakes. I do shout at my children. I sometimes do smack them on the bum when they're naughty, okay? I do these things. So for me, number one, I'm going to start with the Bible verse. And it's Philippians 2, verse 14 to 15. and it says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in the world full of crooked and perverse people. So when I think about my children, I try and parent with the end in mind. Okay, do you guys understand that? So I'm thinking about what he's going to look like, what's Landon and Arden, what they're going to look like when they're 21 years old, what I'm going to be releasing into the world. That is where I'm starting now. Although Arden is 16 months, Landon's almost 5, that's where we need to start, because we're not parenting them for only now. We're parenting them for when they are released into the world. And with anything in the world, we need a plan. Right, so we have a plan for our retirement. We have a plan for, we even have a grocery list. We have a plan for medical aid. I wrote it down. We have all these lists and things that we plan, and our weekly plans and our calendars and etc. So why don't we have a plan for our children? Right? So this is something that the Lord spoke to me a couple of weeks ago, actually. And he said to me, you need prayer strategies for your children. Because what happens is, I'm going to use Landon as an example for a lot, so bear with me. But Landon is a child that easily gets influenced by other children. But not only influenced, badly influenced. So he's this amazing, cool dude. I am biased, yes, but he is awesome. Like, he is an intelligent boy. People love him. But when he plays with other children, he's easily influenced badly. So if someone's naughty, he'll do that. So I said to Lou, I think it was in the beginning of the year, I said, you know, we need to pray for this child for leadership skills. We need to pray for him to be a leader. And we started doing that. And now when we pray for him, or when we speak to him, we go, remember, Landon, you're a leader. You make rules when you play games. That's what I'm talking about, not the rules in the walls, but you make rules. And you're allowed to, because you're a leader. So we speak that into his life. And when you speak into a child's identity, their behavior changes. Right? So when you tell a child you're a leader, and the child hears, I'm a leader. I'm a leader. The behavior follows. Right? Anyway, so the Lord said to me, you need prayer strategies for your boys. And for your husband, actually. So what I did was, I'm just going to give you guys an example. That's Landon. And I printed photos, and at the back, I've got my prayer strategies for my boys. So here we go. That's Arden, and that's his prayer strategy. So this goes in my diary wherever I go. Shame, Lou also has one. Lou also has one, but I'm not praying for him for a wife. I am indeed for my boys. Maybe their wives, parents are somewhere here. I have a prayer strategy and plan. I know what I want to see in their lives, and I know what the Lord has told me, prophetic words that I've received with regards to their lives and their future, and I've put that in words, and I see this. And when I have 2 minutes, I take it out, and I pray, because my little notes are there. So I just go, okay, Lord, this, godly wife, this. And I think that's so important, right? That we make prayer strategies and plans for our children. So the saying goes, fail to plan is planning to fail, right? So now the next topic is something that's close to my heart and that I can talk about the whole night, and it's boundaries. Boundaries versus a full love tank. So what is a boundary? It defines a beginning and an end. So it's also a place where we protect what is precious to us. Okay. So when we talk about boundaries, we say a healthy boundary looks like a house with a fence around it with a gate, right? A gate that we can willingly open and close. Okay. An unhealthy boundary is a house with a wall around it with no gate. Nothing good or bad can go in. Okay, another unhealthy boundary is a, what is it? It's a, it's no fit, no boundary, right? Then anything, it can get intruders in. Okay, so does that make sense? So we want a healthy boundary, which we have fences up, and the gate we can open and close as we see fit. Okay, So boundaries versus full love tank. So when I say boundaries, we all have boundaries with our children, right? We should have boundaries with our children. And a full love tank is basically when you get home. Have any of you ever gotten home? I mean, we work, we pick up the children from school, we rush into the house, open the door, throw the bags down, start with supper, and the child's like, "Mommy, mommy, mommy," and you're like, "Not right now, I'm cooking supper." All of us. Come on, I do it. So when I talk about a full love tank, we cannot discipline our children if they're not getting the love from us. So if their love tank isn't full, then obviously you can't go, "Oh, you go time out because you've been tugging on my dress and I told you to stop tugging on my dress." But meanwhile, all they want is love. Does that make sense? So we need to, there needs to be, if you can see a scale, boundaries and love, the full love tank need to be equal. Okay, so they need the love before we can actually give them boundaries. So, if your expectations are too high or your boundaries are too tight, then you are taking away the child's sense of hope. Okay, when you tell your three-year-old that he cannot hold his Barney toy because you just have a bad day, that's just mean. Okay, so I'm just saying your boundaries need to be, well, age efficient, but also if your boundaries are too tight, then you're taking away their hope. If you have no boundaries, then your child, you'll turn your child into an entitled BRAT. did you get that? So then they feel like the world owes them. So I have this amazing study that they did. And a teacher took her class to a park. And the park had no boundary around it. And the children all went playing, but they all played around the teacher's feet and just close to huddled together, and they didn't move anywhere. And she took the same class, the teacher took the same class to an actual park where they had boundaries, a boundary wall up. And the children played freely up until the boundary wall. And they were happy. They didn't huddle around the teacher. They knew where the boundaries were. And I just want to read you guys the conclusion. And it says, the overwhelming conclusion was that with a given limitation, children felt safer to explore a playground. Without a fence, the children were not able to see a given boundary or limit, and thus were more reluctant to leave the caregiver. With a boundary, in this case the fence, the children felt at ease to explore the space. They were able to separate from the caregiver and continue to develop in their sense of self while still recognizing that they were in a safe environment within the limits of the fence. Hey, that's good. So that's why boundaries are so important. And boundaries need to be clear, consistent, predictable boundaries. And the consequences shouldn't change because mommy had a bad day or because mommy is tired. Can I get an amen? Your consequences need to stay the same. Have you ever seen a child, a parent shout at a child? We've all seen that. But have you ever seen a child go, when the parent screams, goes like this, backs up against the wall because they don't know what's going to happen? You've seen that? Because they're scared they're going to get a hiding because they don't know what the consequences are, because they aren't predictable consequences. Because some days mommy will give me a slap. Some days mommy will put me in time out. Oh, how's her mood today? What is she going to do? Yeah, she's had good sleep. She's smiling. Okay, cool. No, I won't get a smack. I'll just get put in time out. Can you relate? Does that make sense? So it needs to be predictable consequences and predictable boundaries. So unpredictability, yeah, that's what I just spoke about. So we have this thing with Landon when he was about 2, I think. Yes, we started with disciplining him, which is too late, by the way. You can already start at 11 months. And at 2, we decided, cool, we're going to start disciplining Landy. And with Munchkins, this is going online, right? This is going online. Okay. So Llewellyn and I used to give Landon hidings. and our thing was, it was always at home. It was always predictable. So he would know. So if he did something out of line, we would say, "Landon, ons gaan by die huis praat." Ooh, then he knows. Then he starts crying already in the car. He's like, "Mama, ek is lief vir jou." So, "Ek is lief vir jou ook, maar jy gaan nog steeds gesels." And we still use that. We still say, "Ons gaan 'n bietjie gesels," wanneer ons by die huis kom, or wherever we are. And you'll be surprised that they remember, because some parents say to me, "Well, you know, you can't really do that when you're at church and then go home 2 hours later and then go, oh, we miss gesels." you can definitely do that. And so that's what we did with Landy. We said, ons gaan praat by die huis. And I'm not condoning hidings, by all means. I know it's illegal. I'm telling you what I do and what we do. And yeah, so for us, it worked with Land. But that praat by die huis. And he knows, cool, praat by die huis, ons gaan kamer toe, hy gaan al wag, hy gaan huil, mama gaan die houtlepel kry, sy gaan terugkom, you know what I mean. So it's predictable, and it was always predictable. It wasn't one day, I'll just smack him under the bum, the next day, ach, we'll just, you know. He knew what the procedure was, if I can say it that way. And this is very good, you must write this down. An instruction or a rule without a consequence is just a suggestion. Right? So instruction or rule is, what, where am I now? Sorry. Instruction and a rule is just a suggestion if there are no consequences that follow. So you can go, if your child's jumping on the couch, choose your battles as well, because choose your battles wisely, because once you start, you need to see it through. So if your child's jumping on the couch and you don't want your child to jump on the couch, what are you going to do? Stop jumping on the couch. Stop jumping on the couch. Stop jumping on the couch. And eventually you're going to be like, ah, stop jumping on the couch. And you're going to pull the child off. But if your child knows that that is a rule in the house from the start, you're not allowed to jump on the couch, they'll know that there will be consequences. But also if you're saying, oh, if you jump on that couch one more time, I'm going to take away your iPad or whatever the case may be. And then the child will be like, okay, whatever, and jump again or whatever the case may be. But you need to know that there need to be strict boundaries. And I mean, strict rules in your house as well. I mean, not strict, but I mean, if there are rules, you need to see it through. Let me just see here where I am. I'm losing my spot. And choose your battles. Yes. And stick to your guns. So my no is my no. Does your child know your no is your no? Or if they ask you the fifth time, will your no turn into a yes? Landon says to me, he'll say, Mama, kan ek 'n sweetie kry? Nee, seun. Mama, kan ek... Landon, has my no ever changed? No. Then stop asking me, right? They need to know your no is your no and your yes is your yes. So also we have a lot of parents here with small babies and toddlers. So what do you do when your toddler is throwing a fit or doing something they're not supposed to be doing while you're busy feeding your baby? Okay, so when you put your baby down and they cry for 2 minutes while you're disciplining your child, I promise you there won't be any long-term abandonment issues. Okay, but if you leave your toddler to do what they're doing while feeding the baby, they're going to say, oh, it's a way out. Whenever mommy's feeding, I'm going to be doing everything I'm not allowed to be doing. So I think it's just very important because you always think, oh, shame the baby, or the baby's feeding, oh, I need to hold. The baby will be fine, I promise you. The baby will be fine. Okay, so we also know with boundaries and full love tank, we all know about the love languages, right? I feel like my son's love language is just... receiving gifts and quality time. Aren't they all like that now at this age? I just want, give me stuff and give me, you know. So we need to know what our love language, our children's love languages are. Firstly, our spouses and then our children's. I mean, and you all know the love languages. It's touch, it's quality time, gift givings, acts of service, and words of affirmation. And that you can use to fill your child's love tank, okay? Because we're still on boundaries and filling love tanks. And also often, we need to do things that our children like to do, okay? Oh no, and I'm not talking about watching TV, I'm talking about playing hopscotch, I'm talking about kicking a ball in the yard, even if you don't feel like it. Your child needs one-on-one time with each parent. So it's not only, okay, daddy's got Landon, mommy's got Arden, we sorted. It's not like that. You need to have quality time. And I'm not saying they need hours, 2 hours, I'm saying 10 minutes. So when you next time you walk in with your groceries and you need to cook supper after a long day and you're like, oh, take 10 minutes and sit with your child on the floor and give them some attention, because that's what they want. They want you, right? They want the parents. And then chill times work awesome. So chill times are, you get two different chill times. So if the child's older, you can say, oh, you know, mommy, you can go have a chill time in your room. And that means they can go play in their room with whatever they want, but they need to give you your space. When they're small, like Arden, he has his chill time. Yeah. He has his chill time on the floor in the room where I'm at. Okay, so he's 16 months old. Because mommy also needs a minute sometimes, right? Okay, daddy too, but I'm just, you guys know what I'm saying. So for me, very important, when you don't understand your own boundaries, right? Us, as grown-ups, we feel responsible for other people's feelings and reactions. Can I say that again? So if you don't understand, if I don't understand my boundaries, I feel like I'm responsible for other people's reactions or feelings. So when you're a child, it's exactly the same. Okay, so when they don't have boundaries, they're going to... So no one can make you happy. Do you know that? We all know that, right? No one can make you happy. No one can make you sad. No one can make you angry. But they can try to make you angry, but if you get angry, it's your own fault. Right? Is that like a revelation? It's true. So they can do something to try and make you angry or sad or happy. But initially, it's your decision to get angry. And children need to understand that as well. I often say to Lani, Mama, you mock my quote. Seknia, you getting angry by yourself. I'm not doing anything to make you quote. You mock yourself quote. So we need to know that we are in control of our own emotions. So we can decide to be happy or angry. No one can make us that. And this little quote by Anonymous, it says, don't let the key of your happiness lie in someone else's pocket. That's like, for me, when I read that, I was like, what? That is amazing. Okay. So we choose to feel or not feel a certain way. So we are responsible for our own feelings. So that is boundaries versus full love tank. I just covered a bunch of stuff there. Am I going too fast? No, is that good? Okay, you can have my notes after if you want, and this the tape, which they must not put on the website. So my next point is embrace negative emotions and give encouraging words. So I grew up in a house where my dad never showed any emotion other than, I've got this. That's it. My dad never cried in front of me. He never showed any other emotion, and I thank the Lord that I met Llewellyn, and he shows emotion. He's not a crybaby, okay? He's not a crybaby. But he showed me that it's okay to have emotions. And that is amazing. Because we cannot suppress emotions. And we can't hide something. Because I just feel like if you can't express your emotions, you're kind of like, you're hiding who you really are. I mean, that's just to me. So when I say negative emotions, I'm talking about something like, it's okay for children to be sad. It's okay for children to be disappointed, okay? And when I say that, so the other day, I'll give an example. Landy came, we had supper together. Landy didn't want to eat his supper. So him and his dad have this thing where he gets, you know, those little fish oil sweeties, but it's like little pills that you take. It's like a fish oil pill. And he takes his in the evenings, and his dad usually does a little quiz with him, like, okay, cool, you get your, but he would give it to him anyway. Anyway, Landon didn't want to have his supper that night. He was like, nah, I don't want it. And we said, and Llewellyn said to him, well, if you don't have your supper, you can't have your fish, your little willy, and that's fine. You don't have to have your supper. We're not going to force you to have your supper. But if you don't eat, then unfortunately, that's the consequence. And Landon said, okay, cool. I'm not going to eat. And I heard this. I wasn't sitting at the table with them, but I heard it. And then Llewellyn had to leave for prayer, and Landon came to me, and he says, Mom, can I have my fishy? I said, Land, but didn't Dad say no? He says, yeah, Dad said no. And then Landon went, oh, and he started crying. And I said, oh, my boy, I know it's sad. Do you need a minute? And he said, yeah, I need a minute. And he went to his room, and he cried, and he came out, and then he looked at me, and he said, I need another minute. And he went back in, and he cried, and then he came out. And I said, are you feeling better? I'm so sorry. I know you're sad. I know you're disappointed. But, you know, next time, maybe when we ask you to just have a couple of bites of supper, you're going to do it. He goes, yeah, yeah. So for me, and for us as a family, we do that. We say we need a minute. And I mean, children are going to get disappointed, and we need to help them embrace those feelings, because one day in real life, they're going to go out, they're not going to get the job. They're not going to make the rugby team, and they're going to be disappointed, and they're going to be sad, and we're not going to go, oh, you know, you just drag your groot mensie panties on and oh, gaat jy. No, you're going to sympathize with their, you know, you're going to sympathize, oh, babe, I know, I'm so sorry, and you tried your hardest, and I know that, and I know you're sad, and that's okay. You know, so for me, that's why I'm saying embrace the negative emotions. Don't just let them suppress it. They need to feel that as well for one day. And I also need a minute. And this actually happened the other night. I was cooking supper and I'm going through scenarios in my head. The children are having chill time, and Landon walks out and says, Mama, ek sê, ja, Landon. Mama, nodig jy 'n minuut? It's like, ja, ek nodig 'n minuut. He could hear in my tone of voice, I needed a minute. And he said to me, you need a minute. I took my minute, let me tell you. And it's just a nice thing of having, rather than, you know, take a minute. We all need a minute sometimes. I mean, when you're angry or whatever, we need a minute. So the other day, Landon threw a golf ball at me. I'm going to be real, okay? I'm being real. And Landy threw a golf ball in the kitchen. We should put like boing, 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 and it hit me on this little bone here. And I said, Landon, don't do it. Don't do it. And he did it again. Like in slow motion. And it hit me on the exact same bone. And I was like, ah, boom. And I kicked the kitchen cupboard. And then I said, I need a minute. And I walked out and I went to the other room and I took my minute and I came back and I said, babe, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Because we need to have integrity, right? I said, babe, I'm so sorry I kicked the cupboard. I was just really angry because you threw me with a golf ball. But yeah, so I mean, take a minute. Take a minute. And then also with encouraging words, I'm going to tell you guys about a home visit or a school visit that we did. With Munchkins, we do home visits, so we go and visit homes if parents need assistance. And this specific mom said, please, can you guys come to my school? One of my twins, she's just throwing tantrums all the time. She's out of control. I don't know what to do. And we went and they were playing, and what we try and do is then create a scenario where the child will then throw a tantrum so we could see how and what. And man, I tell you, we tell this little girl, we go, please pick up those blocks. She picks up the blocks. We go, oh, please do that. And this child's just loving life. She's just doing everything we're telling her to. And every time she does it, we go, oh, well done. You're doing such a good job. And then she played with this doll. And we're like, would you mind sharing that with your sister? And she's like, cool. And she shares it. And we're like, oh, this is so good. Why is this child not cracking? But you know why? You know why? Because she was getting encouraging words and she wasn't used to it. And she was thriving off that. Because she's generally hearing, oh, you never listen. You're so naughty. Why don't you listen when we talk? Why don't you do what we tell you to do? But now she was hearing, well done for sharing. You're being so kind. And that was just something. Eventually, we couldn't get her into timeout, but the sister went. The sister went into timeout. So I'm not saying we should praise our child. Oh, my boy, you were the best soccer player on the team. Well done, you know. No, my boy, you played amazing. You tried your absolute best, and I could see it. So we need to encourage our children. They need to hear that. We don't need to always just focus on, oh, you know, stop being so naughty. Stop. They want to hear how good they are. And also, a very good thing that us as parents can do is say something nice or good about our children while they're playing in the same room to another grown-up. Like, babe, you wouldn't believe what Landon did today. He was so kind. He helped Arden. And their ears go, ding. Ooh. Love it. They love it. But they need to hear these things. And I think we often forget because we're always focusing on what they're not doing and, you know, what makes our life more difficult, what they're doing that's making our life more difficult. Yeah, so that is that. So my next point, I need to get moving. My next point, we need to give our children what they need, not what they want. I often hear parents say, I just want to make, you know, have a happy child. I just want to make them happy. And you go, well, do you want to raise an entitled child that thinks that the world owes them everything, that has no sense of delayed gratification? Because that's kind of honestly where we are at the moment. Children don't have to wait. Everything's instant. Everything's instant. You want to phone someone, you pick up the phone, you phone them. You want to go, you want Lego, you go to the shop, you buy it. Everything's instant, it's very fast, and our children don't know, they're not getting to learn that not everything, they can get anything by a snap of a finger. Okay, so they need to learn delayed gratification. Yes, Lord. So yeah, and I mean, we don't want to raise entitled children, as I said earlier. And the opposite of entitlement is gratitude. A thankful heart needs to be empathized. So the other day as well, I'm going to use Landy again as an example. And he said to me, picked him up from school, Mama, give my sweetie in the car. I said, nee, my son. We go to the shop. Mama, can I dit kry? Nee, my son. Mama, can I dit kry? Nee, my son. And after about the fifth time, I said to him, babe, oh, esterizens just take us. Is that all we do? I didn't put him on a guilt trip. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we give our child Lego. We give him stuff. But he needs to know that we're not always takers. And I said to him, babe, do we always take? Do we always just want things? And he said, no. He says, we givers. I said, so just remember that, please. Because you're making me uncomfortable because you're asking me 10 things at the same time. So I said, remember, we givers. And later that afternoon, so that was done. So we don't hold on to things. Later that afternoon, Nanny came to me and says, Mom, I'm really sad. I said, why? He says, because I'm a taker. And I said, oh, my heart. And I said, babe, no, you're not just a taker. We're a giver, remember? Esterizens are givers. And he was just sad. And I said, but remember, we're working on this, you know. We're not going to leave it. You're not going to be a taker. We're working on this, and we're going to be givers. And then he kind of like realized, okay, cool. So can I have the, can I have Lego? Can I have a reward? Anyway, no, we do. We're not that strict. We do give our children things, and they do get sweets. I promise. Cool. So my next point is, parents, you are your child's number one greatest influencer in the world. Right? You are the model. You're on 24/7 surveillance. Because what you do, what you model to your children, I thought you were putting the light dimmer. Yay. What you model and who you are rubs off on them. Okay? So we can't, what is that saying where they say, do what I say and not what I do. That's crap. That's crap. Because you need to model who you want your child to be one day. You can't say one thing and then you need to listen to other people, but when people speak to me, I'm on my cell phone. Or when he speaks to me, I'm on my cell phone. We can't do that. You know, you want him to have respect, but we need to show respect as well. And for me, it's just important. And if we don't step up as parents to be this influence in our children's lives, they're going to go elsewhere. They're going to go to society. They're going to look outside the four walls of your house, and that's trouble. You don't want them to look at other people. You want them to be, or you need to model to them what you want them to be. And as I said earlier, model integrity. Learn to apologize to your children. It's hard. It's hard. It's so hard. I never used to apologize. Before I was saved, I never apologized. I always won. Every single fight, I won. But we need to learn to apologize because we're not always right. We don't always do the right thing. We lose it sometimes. We shout sometimes. We, you know, do things that we're not supposed to be doing. But I'm saying we need to be able, you need to have integrity and you need to be able to apologize. So, where am I? So, yeah, what we model to our children is what they absorb. That's very important. So we need to believe in our power to influence. And your role as a parent is very vital. Okay, so that was my whether we are their greatest influence. And then another one of my favorite topics is discipline. I love it. Discipline makes me come alive. So discipline is guidance. It's not punishment. It's guidance. And that is a biblical principle. And you as parents have the permission to parent. Wow. So you're allowed to parent your children, okay? And you have that permission. And you need to have an attitude. You need to develop an attitude. And you need to be able to let your children smell that new attitude of authority on you when you start to discipline them. I'm not going to give you methods to discipline. You can get me to come visit your home. No, you can actually, we're going to stay afterwards. You guys have any questions, you can come to me. If you have questions about how to discipline or how anything, you can come just chat to me afterwards. But very important, when you do discipline, you need to stay calm. And wouldn't we all want first-time obedience? How amazing would that be? I speak, it happens, right? First-time obedience. Do it. We've got all the A's all the A's of listening. All the A's for good listening. So first-time obedience, you do all that I ask. You do it in age-appropriate efficiency. You do it in an acceptable amount of time. And you do it with a good attitude. How amazing. You just go, pick up your blocks. Okay, Mom. It's awesome. It's awesome. Anyway, so discipline. Anger doesn't bring action. Action brings action. So like I said earlier, a rule and a suggestion if it has no consequences. I mean, a rule and a how could no fuss? Consequence. No. A rule without a consequence is just a suggestion. So we always need to be hard on the issue, but soft on the child. They must never feel like they're unloved when you discipline them. They mustn't feel like, oh, I was naughty, so now mom doesn't love me. They must feel, what I did was wrong, but I'm still loved. So you're hard on the issue, but soft on the child. I love you, babe, but your behavior is not what I love. I don't know, like what you just did, but I love you, right? So they need to know that. They need to know that they are loved, but that you will not tolerate what they just did. Okay, and that it's not in line with your values as a family. So when you get angry when you discipline a child, I'm going off, why did you do that? The actual attention from what that child did gets taken off to how mom's going nuts, right? The child's going, what? I didn't even know what I did wrong, but this woman's going nuts, right? So the attention from going from, oh, he didn't listen to what I said, goes to, oh, mom's being an absolute crazy witch. Okay, so we need to stay calm, and we need to be consistent. I touched base on that earlier. And there are three different attitude options when it comes to a child's behavior. So aggressive, shouting, being angry. Do what I say! That's aggressive. Then you get appeasing. Please, my baby, won't you just please pick up the blocks for mommy? Please! Does this sound familiar? And then you get assertive. You go, pick up your blocks. So you mean what you're saying. You've got the attitude. It's non-negotiable. Stand tall. Look the child in the eyes. Okay. So that is your assertive way. So sometimes appeasing attitude turns into the aggressive attitude. Because you start and you go, Mom asked you to please pick up. Please, my baby, if I pick up one, will you pick up 10? Okay, I'll pick up your blocks. And then, have you still not picked up? And then you start getting aggressive and starting to shout at the child. So those are the three possible attitude options for the child's behavior. So I'll touch the A's of good listening. And I said hard on the issue, yes. And we do never label children. And when I say label, it's not only naughty. Right? When you tell a child, oh, you mommy's boy, and you have a sibling, what does that child think? Oh, there's only one spot for mommy's boy, so I'll just settle for daddy's boy then. Hey. Or if you tell a child, oh, he's just shy. Okay, cool. I'm just shy, so I can be rude. That's cool, because I'm shy. Okay. Can we label children? But we do that. And I mean, I never knew that. I would often say, oh, Arden is such a mommy's boy. And then, I mean, when I went on my course with Munchkins, they actually said, you can't do that. And especially, I mean, even if you label a child naughty, I mean, you don't do that. Because as I just said, we hard on the issue, but we soft on the child. You can't tell a child they're naughty because they're not defined by what they did. Right? So you can't go, oh, you're being naughty. So now I'm the naughty child. Okay, so we don't label children. And always stick to your guns, as I said. Has my no ever changed? You can use this, by the way. You can use it at home. Okay, I'm giving you permission. Has my no ever changed? No, so don't ask me again. Okay, the next point is so important. Presence versus presence. It sounds exactly the same. So, not gifts, presence, quality time, quantity of time as well. So it's not only quality time. You need to give your child enough time because all they want is you. Kids need your time and your attention, and they need to be able to go on adventures with you, and you need to create memorable moments. They're not necessarily going to remember your trip to, I mean, we went on a trip. The other day we went on an adventure. We never do this. I'm an A-type personality. I don't do adventures, okay? I go 7 o'clock bedtime, 5 past 7, mommy's bedtime, 10 past 7, daddy's bedtime. I don't go on adventures. And we said to Landon, I think we were still pregnant with Arden, we said, Lan, there are fireworks shooting at the beach. Let's go on a you know, let's go on an adventure. And we drove the whole of Port Elizabeth. We probably saw like 2 minutes of fireworks from up at the reservoir. But that was an adventure. And Landon loved it. He was so excited. He was like, I don't care. I don't even think he cared about the fireworks. All he cared about was that he was on an adventure with his parents. And it didn't cost us a thing. You know, everything doesn't have to cost us things. We don't have to always take them to Disneyland or, you know, take them to do expensive things. We can take them to the park and go kick a ball. I can promise you they'll love it. They'll love it. We often go take a walk to the park and slide. They love it. And it's for free. They love adventures. They love making memorable moments with mom and dad. They just love it. They don't care about the money. They don't care about what car you drive. They don't care about these things. They care about spending quality time with mom and dad. It's just so important. And, you know, when we speak about presence, it's such a big deal to God as well. Because God sent Jesus so that he could be present on earth with us, right? And when Jesus went up to heaven, the Holy Spirit came down to be so we could have presence with him. You know, so it's such a big deal with God as well. And I read this meme. Is that how you say it? Meme, ne? Because Afrikaans. It says, we're all imperfect parents, and that's perfectly okay. Tiny humans need connection, not perfection. How amazing is that? I thought that was really cool. And then family traditions. Do any of you have family traditions? No? No? I don't even know if we have family traditions. Babe, it does. Yeah, family traditions is waking up at 4:30 and playing Lego with the children. But family traditions are so important. And if you don't have, I would suggest that you guys start with something. Even if it's having tea together in the afternoon or every Saturday morning going to kick a soccer ball. It's just so important to have family traditions. So one day, that's going to go. I mean, I have a friend. Bless her. She actually passed away. And her family, for every single special occasion, they all had supper as a family together. How amazing is that? And it started with their mother, and it has now grown their three children, and it's gone into their families. And their children are now reaching a stage where they're going to start it with their families. How amazing is that? If we start a family tradition now, how our children will then just keep going. That's awesome. My last point, because I see I'm babbling, I'm talking a lot. My last point is sacrifices. So when I started this talk, I said to you the greatest advice that I ever received was the fact that children get born into your family, which is, you know, and you need to go on with what you know, your life. And you can't, you know, but what I didn't say was about the sacrifices. So in today's society, and I'm not talking about, personal sacrifices, but I'm also talking about things like career sacrifices. It's a hard one, eh? Because we need money to survive. But what I'm saying is, if you are in a position where you don't see your children because you are too busy having to keep them alive financially, is that really a good place to be? If you're missing out on everything because of money, is that really a good place to be? And it's tough. I'm telling you it's tough because I'm a workaholic. As I said, I have a events company and Munchkins. And there's a point where you have to draw the line and go, it's not worth it. Money's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. And and as I said, it's a personal journey for me still. I'm still working on it, where I need to draw a line and go, you know what? I choose my family above that function or above that, you know, the money. So we need to make sacrifices and time management, but I think we'll have a different talk for time management, right, moms? We'll just the moms. We'll just have a different talk for time management one day. And also, it's very important to have a peaceful home. So also when you're so busy and you're rushing and you just need to get things done because the sun is setting and the children need to get in bed, at the end of the day, are things peaceful or are they chaotic at home? Because children sense that and they need a peaceful home. And we need to be intentional about creating an environment that is peaceful for our children. And I wanted to actually end off with the verse that Jonathan started with. Psalm 127 and 3, which he graciously read for us earlier. So, guys, I just also, just quickly, before I end off because now I also want some cake and it's been 40 plus minutes. So I want to tell you guys more about what Munchkins are about, so what we do. I've got a couple of books there and some charts with regards to disciplining and all of that. But I'm going to, the floor is going to be open afterwards. I'm going to, so if you, any of you have questions, please do come up to me. I'm going to be hanging around here. If you have any discipline questions, if your children aren't sleeping and you need some advice, you can come chat to me. But yeah, so Munchkins, what we do is we help empower parents by changing family dynamics. So we, you're not sleeping well at the back. So yeah, we help empower parents to change their family dynamics and just get things in order. And we assist with disciplining if your child doesn't want to eat, if your child's not sleeping well, and that type of thing. So we have three options. We do Skype calls. We do home visits, which are fun. Those are fun. So I actually come to your house, and it's about 2 or 3 hours, and I just live life with you guys. I live life with you and your children, and we just, you know, see what's happening and how I can assist. And then also we do, what is the other one? Oh, I do coffee consults as well. So if just mommy or just dad, you know, mom and dad want to sit without the children, then we can have a cup of coffee and we can chat about, you know, some different ways. Because all children are different. They all have different temperaments. They all need to be disciplined differently. And yeah, then we chat about that. So that is me. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure being with you guys.